The marshal can call court to order.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Flory, Judge Connolly, and Judge Reyes, the Honorable James Flory presiding.
Good morning, counsel, and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. This is our second case on this morning for oral argument, State of Minnesota versus Jonathan Richard Tollefson, court file 821-0253. Our rules remain the same, and which means that each of you will have 15 minutes for your principal arguments, and counsel for appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you wish. I would note that the court does record these proceedings and will make those recordings available during our normal course of business, and any additional recording is prohibited by our rules. So with that, please identify yourselves for our record when you begin your arguments, and counsel for appellant, you may proceed.
Thank you very much, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Andrew Wilson on behalf of Jonathan Tollefson. Your Honors, the arguments of counsel are insufficient to rebut a reasoned pretrial motion to transfer for improper venue and establish that venue is proper so as to proceed to trial.
My first question for you, Mr. Wilson, is in the court's file prior to your client making his motion was the citation data summary with a description from the officer of the offense, which indicated that the offense that he charged took place just south of Larsmont, which is in Lake County. So what evidence then is there on a preponderance of the evidence standard that would support an argument that the court clearly abused its discretion?
Judge, appellant as Exhibit A to his submission to the district court included the officer's dash cam video footage. And it's my contention that the officer's dash cam video footage rebuts his notation on the citation that the offense occurred in Lake County. Based on what the officer's dash cam footage indicates, and that's confirmed by his testimony at trial.
Well, he said he had crossed back north of the Knife River and was about a mile south of Larsmont when he clocked your client between 104 and 107, is what he said at trial. So I'm not sure how that contradicts, that trial testimony contradicts what he had in his citation.
Your Honor, I believe the trooper claims that he clocked the appellant going 101 miles an hour in St. Louis County, going northbound toward Lake County.
Correct.
And then he testified that he took approximately 30 seconds to turn around and return approximately to the same location where he had seen the appellant when he'd first observed him, which would also be in St. Louis County.
The citation says, I turned around to follow and caught up south of Larsmont. Vehicle speeds ranging from 104 to 107 miles per hour, et cetera. So that's what the citation says.
And on page 20 of the transcript, Your Honor, he specifically testifies that he pulled the appellant over approximately 1 mile into Lake County.
Correct.
And if appellant was going the speeds that he was saying he was going between 104 to 107, even if you make it easy math and make it 100 miles per hour, if he's going 100 miles per hour on the video, he's going for 3 minutes in one direction. That means mathematically he's going to be going at least 5 miles. And if he's so close to the border, according to the officer, then he's going to be way beyond 1 mile into Lake County. And so I think that discredits his assertion that his assertions on the citation. And I think that gives the court a basis to find that appellant's claim is credible so as to put the burden on the state to prove that venue is appropriate.
Well, the only burden they had, you're not challenging probable cause here. You're challenging venue. And under the State versus Chambers and State versus Fairbanks, the court has broader discretion to decide a change of venue. And appellate courts will sustain that absent a clear abuse of discretion and a showing of actual prejudice. You haven't challenged the judgment here, the conviction. He had a trial. The court had to prove by proof beyond a reasonable doubt that the offense occurred in Lake County. The court made that finding. That finding is a higher burden than the the preponderance of the evidence on a venue motion. So how in any consideration of these facts can your client show actual prejudice as required by the law? You've lost me on that one.
Judge, I think that gets to essentially, if I'm understanding your question or your comment, it goes to the harmlessness of the error, that the trial, the burden of proof is higher than the burden of proof would have been on a motion to change venue. So why are we here? And I believe that my answer to that question is that this is a procedural error, meaning that they shouldn't have even gotten to trial, because once my client made the motion challenging the venue, it's the state's burden to rebut that. The state did nothing to rebut that apart from simply arguing as
to what. Didn't they rebut it by filing the citation with the description of the offense?
Judge, I don't think so, because the judge reviewed the citation, presumably, and presumably watched the dash cam footage because my client submitted it as an exhibit. And based on those submissions, informed my client prior to trial during the motion hearing, this is a very understandable, well spelled out argument. He then turned it over to the state, and the state simply argued, Judge, if you allow us to go to trial, the officer will testify as to this. The evidence will show this. Well, the evidence that the state was relying on was evidence that the district court already had at the point in time when he took the bench, told my client, the motion that you've submitted pro se is very understandable and well spelled out. So I don't think that the citation alone is enough to get the state over the procedural burden. And I think the district court's comments discredit that.
Well, I'm not sure the district, I don't think you can interpret the district court's comments as saying, I agree with your motion. I think district court judges, to be fair and reasonable, may make those comments all the time, but I still can't understand how you can show any prejudice by even any error on venue when you're not challenging the fact that the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the offense occurred in Lake County.
And again, Your Honor, I just fall back on, this is a procedural error. There's a procedure, there's an order to these things where my client filed a motion. The motion should have been addressed at the proper standard, meaning the state should have been held to a higher standard than they were held to. And there should not have been a trial because the state failed to meet their burden. The result of the trial, I don't think is positive.
Well, we're going round and round here. I, quite frankly, I don't agree with that analysis, but I'll let Judge Connolly.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Judge Flory. So, Mr. Wilson, what's your remedy? You want us to send it back so you can be tried in Lake County?
St. Louis County, Your Honor.
Oh, excuse me, I apologize, St. Louis County. Is that the remedy?
That is the remedy. I think
so. Okay, well, you know, okie doke. I guess the second question I had is I have not sort of done the mathematical calculations that you're referring to sort of prove one way or the other, you know, where he was speeding, you know, going backwards. But I guess the question I have is sort of related to Judge Flory's question. So, you know, what's the prejudice? I mean, are people being treated so differently in the county where he was convicted than they are in the other county? I mean, do you get like, you know, I mean, is there any evidence in the record that, you know, for speeding this fast, you get, you know, it's dismissed in one county or you get a $10 fine versus, you know, well, now you're in this county, boy, we'll show you, you know, $5,000. I mean, is there any, I guess, you know, absent someone suggesting to me that, you know, and, you know, this seems to be a pretty high speed. I mean, you know, wherever you are, I mean, it seems to be pretty high speed for Minneapolis, to be perfectly candid, you know, where I live. But in any event, you know, I mean, I get the arguments, but I guess I just don't see, you know, how it's so different depending on whether it's St. Louis County or Lake County. I mean, you know, so why am I wrong?
Well, Your Honor, this is an error correcting court. So it doesn't matter whether or not he's going to receive a better result in a different county. If an error occurred, this court should correct it. It doesn't matter if he's going to get a higher fine in St. Louis County, if he's going to be convicted nonetheless, it's an error that occurred and this court should correct it.
And I think the question is, even if we agree with you that the court made an error you still have to show you were somehow prejudiced by it. And I think that's what Judge Connolly's question is getting at, is where is the prejudice?
And I think the prejudice occurs in the fact that his procedural right to have the state held to its burden was violated.
But that's not prejudice. Prejudice is what happens as a result of that. Let's assume for the sake of argument that we agree with you that the district court erred in allowing it to go to trial. Prejudice is the next prong. It's a separate analysis of what is the resulting harm. How would this case have ended in a different result but for the district court's error? And I, with all due respect, I share my colleague's concern of, I'm trying to understand what the prejudice is. Is there going to be a different result in a different county, or does he just want a second bite at the apple?
Well, I don't think that I can answer that question without speculating. I don't think that there is an answer to that question that is not speculative. He hasn't had the opportunity to try it in St. Louis County. I can't tell you what would happen if he was convicted in St. Louis County of the same offense.
But that's the problem. Therein lies the rub. You need to show prejudice. You need to show somehow the outcome would have been different had it been tried in St. Louis County. And that seems to be lacking.
Well, Judge, I don't think that that's necessarily dispositive, because we will never know if he doesn't have the opportunity to try it in St. Louis County.
Mr. Wilson, does the record indicate what was the sentence he received or the fine? I mean, does the record indicate that?
I believe it would, Your Honor. I don't know off the top of my head what the fine he received was. I know that obviously with the speed, there was a 6-month license suspension associated with it.
Because it was over 75? I mean, is that the rule now? I can't remember.
I believe it's over 100, Your Honor.
Over 100. Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
Your Honors, I want to at least note one issue, and I believe it's the heart of my client's issue with this. And it is essentially the appearance of what might be construed as disparate treatment between a pro se litigant and the state. And in our brief, we cite Fitzgerald for the idea that obviously some accommodations may be made for pro se litigants, but for the most part, pro se litigants are held to the same standard as trained attorneys. We also cite Becker for the inverse of that idea. And obviously Becker's unpublished, but the language I believe is on point, and that is that given that courts impose the same standards expected of licensed attorneys on self-represented parties, it's reasonable to expect licensed attorneys to adhere to those same standards. And I would put forth that if I, as an attorney, filed the same type of motion making the same types of claims that Mr. Tollefson did, the court would have held the state to a higher burden than simply arguing that I'm wrong and arguing that venue is appropriate based on what the evidence would show. I think the district court would have held them to a higher standard. We would respectfully request this court reverse. I'm happy to answer additional questions, but if there are none, I cede the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Conroe, you may proceed.
May it please the court and counsel. My name is Russ Conroe. I'm the Lake County attorney. And we have struggled with this case ever since the defendant brought this motion for a change of venue. We just don't understand it, I guess. The last time we've had a venue question, I think in St. Louis County and Lake County, was tragically a body washed up on the shore of Lake Superior. And there was some discussions between the Lake County attorney, Bruce Anderson, and John DeSanto, the chief prosecutor in St. Louis County, about, they were discussing the wind and the sea states, and there was some accusation of John DeSanto getting in a boat and affecting the driftage of the body. But that's, to me, that's venue. It's, you know, where is the appropriate place to take this case? And I think, as it has been pointed out, the appellant did some calculations, presented those to the court about where he was when the officer saw him. Well, you do have the video, the dash cam video, and it's very dispositive of where he's at, how fast he's going. And it's clear that he's going 104 and 107 miles per hour in Lake County. And this change of venue is just ignoring that. It all goes back to where the officer first saw him and what speed he was going there. So in his request for transfer to St. Louis County, what would the charge be then? It wouldn't be the 104 or the 107 registered in Lake County. It would be the 101 in St. Louis County. And it just doesn't make sense. And the other thing is that the judge did make a finding in the, if we send it back to the judge for more findings on the venue issue, what would those findings be? He's already found beyond a reasonable doubt that the appellant was in Lake County, was going over the speed limit, was going over the speed limit. He found it as 104 miles per hour. He didn't find 107, but he's already found those beyond a reasonable doubt. So if you kicked it back to the judge for more findings on the issue of venue, it's obvious what the findings would be. And the proposal that the prosecutor in this case did not present evidence sufficient to overcome the defendant or the appellant's evidence. I think if you go to one of the cases that they cite is State versus Florence. And in Florence, the court lays out those levels that a prosecutor needs to meet when in different scenarios. It lays out the scenarios. So if the defendant just challenges probable cause without submitting any evidence, the prosecutor just simply provides the charge or the citation and the police reports. And in this case, the evidence that the appellant provided to the court for his motion was simply what happened in St. Louis County. There's no challenge to what happened in Lake County. So the charges that are before the court aren't even addressed by appellant's proposed evidence. And in terms of evidence, the fact that the judge complimented him, as has been pointed out, that's not a finding. That he complimented him saying that it was very understandable and well spelled out, it doesn't mean it was right. So when the prosecuting attorney says, hey, it's in the evidence, it's on the charge, and it's in the video that and the officer's available to testify, that's all she needs to put in. And the fact that this motion is brought 8 days before the court trial, there's an issue of judicial resources. Is the judge going to take time to hold a hearing to determine whether Lake County is the proper place to try the case when he's got the officer there, he's got all the participants are there for a scheduled court trial, and they're going to go over the same evidence that the court trial is going to go over? It just doesn't make sense. And nothing of this case makes sense in terms of this issue of venue, present more evidence, or whether or not the evidence that was presented by the appellant was an actual finding that the court made was valid. I have nothing further. If there's no questions.
Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Conroe. You do have an opportunity for a rebuttal, Mr. Wilson. You may proceed if you wish.
Judge, based on opposing counsel's statements, I have nothing in terms of rebuttal.
All right, thank you very much to both of you. The court will take the matter under advisement then. We will issue a decision on the case within the statutory time frame, and we stand adjourned. Thank you.